blowing past the state budget deadline again. And a move to lock up students' cell phones takes another step forward in Pennsylvania. Welcome to The Morning Agenda, WITF's daily news podcast, where the only agenda is you. A good morning to you. It is Friday, June 28th. Happy Friday. This is being recorded at 5:25 a.m. I'm your host, Tim Lambert, as we take this daily trip around the region's top stories together. Work by state lawmakers to complete a new budget is on track to blow through Monday's start of the new fiscal year. Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro and top lawmakers are expressing optimism that closed-door talks are yielding progress despite the missed deadline. For Shapiro, it will be his second straight budget that failed to get across the finish line by the constitutional deadline of July 1st in the Commonwealth's politically divided government. The Republican-controlled Senate recessed yesterday, planning to return to session after the weekend. The Democratic-controlled House will hold a session today before breaking for the weekend and returning Monday. The State Senate Education Committee is advancing a plan targeting cell phones in Pennsylvania public schools. My colleague Ben Wasserstein reports if enacted, it would fund a pilot program requiring students' phones to be locked up.
Introduced by Republican Senator Ryan Aumann of Lancaster County, the bill calls for the purchase of lockable cell phone bags. Aumann says this is necessary given research into cell phones' effects on things such as mental health and academic performance.
I just think it's absolutely critical that we take steps to free our kids from these devices, the addiction to these devices.
Now, the bill moved out of committee with one no vote from Democratic Senator Lindsey Williams of Allegheny County. She argues it could limit districts to purchasing bags from the California-based company Yonder. No specific company is mentioned in the measure. State House Republicans are trying to advance at least one part of a package of legislation concerning anti-Semitism in schools. My colleague Sarah Neisel reports it would require schools to post any curriculum they have regarding the Holocaust.
Kristen Marcel of Bucks County would require school districts to post curriculums on the Holocaust and other genocides to school websites.
It's really just a way for there to be transparency and sunshine on what exactly is being taught.
Harrisburg Palestine Coalition organizer Brian Kiesling calls the bill exploitation for being a part of a larger package supporting Israel and the Pennsylvania education system.
If they actually wanted to put the lessons of the Holocaust into action, then instead of spending time on this, they would do something to actually fight the genocide that's happening in Palestine.
So if successful, the discharge resolution would bring the bill out of the Education Committee and to the floor for a full vote. Education Committee Chairman Peter Schweier of Lehigh declined to comment. Moving away from the state capitol for this story, the Hemmings Motor News Great Race gets vintage and antique cars out of garages and museums and back on the road. Kat Bullis is with our friends at WVIA in Pittston and recaps how hundreds of spectators lined downtown Lewisburg to watch as the annual race passed through Union County.
Jeff Stumm says it's the most unique event in motorsports. He's the race director.
These are pieces of art. This is the Mona Lisa on wheels.
The race started in 1983. Drivers from around the world spend 9 days on the road. They started this year with over 100 cars in Kentucky. The winner does it the most methodically. About half of the cars were built before World War I. The oldest is a banana-colored 1912 Haynes. It's a two-seater with no roof.
Now, the youngest is a 1960s muscle car. The race wraps up tomorrow in Maine. So it took me a little bit of extra time to get into work this morning because when I was headed in, I saw there was some heavy traffic on I-83, which is weird for 4:15 in the morning. So I took the turnpike into work. And when I got into the office, I went through about a dozen news sites across central Pennsylvania, just looking for a few stories to put on your radar. And I came across a couple. So here they are. Hunting on Sundays in Pennsylvania would be greatly expanded under a proposal that received approval from the State House. Representatives have voted 129-73 to send it to the Senate. The legislation would authorize Sunday hunting for about 5 years. Now, current law allows 3 days of Sunday hunting, a day during rifle deer season, a day during archery deer season, and a third deer at the State Game Commission's discretion. It passed over objections about trespassing provisions and new restrictions on hunting in state parks. Supporters say it would help with an exploding deer population that's causing farmers crop losses. and a 9-year-old Amish girl is dead after a horse pulled her down a road in Lancaster County. Our sister newsroom, LNP Lancaster Online, reports the girl was on foot leading the horse on Tuesday when the animal got spooked and pulled her down the road. According to the Lancaster County Coroner's Office, the girl had been caught in the horse's reins. The victim's identity is being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Her death has been ruled an accident. Each week, as part of our commitment to transparency in our journalism, Scott Blanchard, our director of journalism, takes us behind the scenes to pull back the curtain on editorial decisions, discussions, or approaches we take to stories. Scott's here with me now in the studio. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Scott, in this week's email newsletter, The Purple Buck, you wrote about our News and Brews event at the Englewood and Hershey last week. What did you hear from folks?
Lots of good story ideas. So many that it got me thinking. There are so many of them, and we heard so many of them, that we won't be able to get to them all, at least not promptly, which is frustrating as a journalist. You know, we come in here every day to do reporting and do stories, right? That's what we want to do and respond to people. And we say that when we do public engagement events like this, one of our main goals is to come away with ideas that we can turn into stories, then get back in touch with the people who are there and say, hey, here's the story we did based on this idea we heard. How did we do? What questions do you still have about this? And kind of keep that communication loop going. And we've also pledged to be honest and transparent about our journalism, as you just said a second ago. And I'm being honest and transparent by saying that we've been at less than full staff for a while now. And, you know, that's not the kind of thing newsrooms might normally talk about publicly. It's really not something that our audience, you know, should spend a lot of time thinking
about.
But it's a fact, and we're working hard to get back to what we consider full staff, which is basically 7 reporters. It's taken us some time. That's on us as a newsroom and as the whole organization of WITF. And what it means is that we'll really have to think hard about which story ideas we'll be able to tackle in the near future.
What were some of those ideas you heard from folks who were on hand at our News and Brews, and were any of them surprising?
I think some of them, well, maybe not surprising, but not necessarily expected, which is always the case when we do these kinds of events, because one of the reasons we do them is because we do live in these communities. We live in central Pennsylvania. We experience life here, but we don't know everything that's going on, obviously. We heard about how there are some proposals to change taxation in some municipalities that some people are concerned about. We heard people wondering about what's going on with a particular development project in Hershey, where work seems to have stopped, and there are some questions about what exactly is going on there. People asked about the status of broadband internet build-out, which is really a statewide issue. They told us about the extension of a bike path in Susquehanna Township, which is a really super local issue, but important to people that live there. Same thing about a creek restoration project in Lebanon County, something that's very local and very important to people who live in that area. That last one I've actually talked about with a staffer, so there's one that we should be able to look at, and we'll be talking to other reporters on our staff about other ideas off of that list.
Now, when we do a public events like this, people always come ready to let us know what's going on in communities where they live. What does that have to tell us about the role of news departments in central Pennsylvania?
I think, to me, it just shows how much people want and need local news. There's so much nationalization out there of news on the internet and on TV. People want to tell their community's story, or they want answers to questions, and they know that a lot of times reporters can find things out that other people may not be able to. Or at least it's a reporter's job to find things out and tell a broader audience and answer questions that may be kicking around out there in people's daily lives. And Tim, no one said this to me last week, but I do also get the sense that there's so much bad information out there. And you and I certainly know that because we're in the business. You know, for example, on social media, and so many news organizations that breathlessly hype conflict to get page views, which we don't do, I just feel like people are tired of it. And they welcome the chance to meet journalists face to face and know that we're going to listen to all ideas and all points of view. There's no point of view that we wouldn't welcome coming into one of our events or contacting us individually. And that's really the point of the events and the outreach and the engagement that we do.
All right. Scott Blanchard is our director of journalism. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, Scott.
You're welcome.
A reminder, we do this little chat about how we do journalism at WITF every Thursday. We will miss next week since it is the 4th of July holiday. And you can find the latest Purple Buck at WITF.org/Purple Buck. While you're there, subscribe to it as well. Just a reminder that The Morning Agenda is available anywhere you find your favorite podcast and on WITF's YouTube channel, which you can subscribe to. We are also on the NPR app. And if in any of those places you can leave a review or a rating for The Morning Agenda, please do so. And I hope you also check out our Spotify playlist. We're wrapping up this month's Today. It's called The Morning Agenda Song of the Day, June 2024, and we'll start a new one on Monday. And today, called an audible, kind of by request, which I don't usually do, but it is a cover song, and it's by my favorite singer. So we're going to go with this audible, and this one was on the series The Bear. It's Eddie Vedder's cover of Save It for Later. That's my song of the day. And that's going to do it for The Morning Agenda, a daily news podcast from WITF, where the only agenda is you. I'm your host, Tim Lambert. Thank you so much for listening today. Your company is always appreciated. Be well, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday in the month of July.